Hey, Arcaders. Yo. It's UberNerd527 and my partner in crime.
Yo, what's happening, everybody?
It's Danny the Ultrasonic Player. Hello, Danny the Ultrasonic Player.
Hey, how's it going, man? Good to be back.
I'm really glad to be back, too. Welcome, everyone, to the Pokemon Rewind Podcast, the podcast where we go over episodes of the Pokemon anime episode by episode, but we do, to spice it up a little bit, we choose a story arc and just stick with the story arc and go all through it, and we go through those episodes. Now, we are currently going over the episodes in the story arc called The Orange Islands, and we are on episode 16. Can you believe it, Danny? 16! We are on episode 16.
It's crazy. I mean, it's just, how do you, I mean, it feels like it was just really the other week where we actually got started on this arc.
I know, right? And Man. You know what? We're almost halfway through. Can you believe it? Almost. Not quite, but we're almost halfway through.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
Insane.
It's been a lot of fun. So, first of all, before we get started, I do want to mention one thing real quick, and that is our Cartoon Connoisseur Theater, which is our sister podcast, the podcast that we spun out of, and they're going to have a special episode of Cartoon Connoisseur where myself is joined by my mom, the Uber Mom, and we're going to be reviewing Peanuts, the Peanuts movie, and Zootopia. So if you're into animals, you like this podcast because we talk about animals. Then you're gonna love that podcast because we talk about animals. So check that out. It should be up by the time this comes out, but it should be out in the feed, so make sure you go see that. And I think that's it for the Arcade Archives news this week. Anything you want to add there, Danny the Ultrasonic Player? Anything you want to add about the Arcade Archives?
To everyone out there, you know, keep visiting our website. We've always got all kinds of things coming up. Stay tuned, because we got a lot more articles coming down the pike.
Yeah.
All kinds of things.
Recently, you did a video game boombox album article about getting into the mood for spring break.
Yep, that I did.
Very cool.
That I did. And I figured, you know what, for that segment of video game boombox, I figured, hey, you know, given that it is spring break, you know, what better way to theme it up than to add in a certain, to look for a certain music that fits the theme. Yeah. And I figured, you know what, Super Mario Bros. 3, Waterland, to be the perfect one.
Yeah, no, although,
that was kind of tough, because there's that and also the main underwater song. But actually, no, because that one gives you more that feeling of being underwater than actually being on the beach. And the Waterland theme just seemed to just fit exactly what I was looking for. There aren't really too many songs that I know of, anyway, that actually give you that feeling of being out on the beach, you know, with your friends, family, and, you know, maybe even putting together like a barbecue. You know, just that kind of vibe. So, and I'm glad that I was able to find it and use the Waterland theme for that segment.
Yeah. Well, what about Angel Island, man, from Sonic the Hedgehog 3?
Oh wow! I didn't even think of that.
Oh my gosh!
Holy smokes! Okay. Well, hey, I stand corrected. Maybe I can.
No. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that's just another one that you probably could do.
Yeah, that's true. My gosh, I didn't even think of that. Thanks, man.
All right, no problem. Hey, let's get this is a Pokemon podcast. What are we doing? We need to talk about Pokemon. These people are paying us to talk about Pokemon. Dang it.
Yeah, I know. Okay, sorry, folks. We're so terribly sorry.
We got off the rails. Sorry. Well, that's okay. We're gonna get into this episode. So today's episode, Tracy Gets Bugged, is episode 16 of the Orange Island story arc, and we'll remind you the name of the episode before we actually get in it. But let's talk about the fun facts. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Go ahead. So here we go. This is the 97th episode of the Pokemon anime, and it broadcast on April 1st, 2000. So almost 16 years ago. By the time this posts, this episode actually premiered. Isn't that awesome?
I know, man, it's amazing how the time goes.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's been that long, even though it obviously has. It's amazing.
It's serendipitous that we're putting this out actually almost a year to the day that that this episode premiered. So that's kind of cool. Anyways,
yeah.
There wasn't too many fun facts about the episode itself. One big one that we're going to probably touch on a little bit later in the episode, but I'll just quickly touch on it now, is this is the first time, this is one of three instances this has happened in the anime where the Pokeball didn't actually shake three times. Now, in the video games, in the, for the most part, the anime, the Paul always shakes three times and then clicks. That has been a staple in the Pokemon games and, for the most part, the anime, for most of Pokemon's history. However, there are three instances. This is one of them. Another one is when Ash gets his Charmander. And another one is when Brock gets his Vulpix, which technically is not his Vulpix. It technically is someone else's Vulpix. But still.
Yeah. Yep, very true.
So I really did. I thought that was kind of a neat little thing. Also, and Danny actually has the info on this one, Danny. So I'm gonna get you set up here real quick. So this island is called Murcott Island. Now, as you know, we're going through orange islands, and usually the islands have names that center around oranges or citrus in some way, shape, or form. So what exactly is a Murcott, Danny?
Well, a Murcott, or honey tangerine as it's marketed as, it's something that's called a Tangor, or a Mandarin sweet orange hybrid. As to when it originated, there's no real concrete year, but it is believed that the Murcott originated around 1916 in a U.S. Department of Agriculture planting. The variety seems to be named after a guy named Charles Murcott Smith, who had grown them in the Bayview, or what's otherwise known as Pinellas County, Florida, back in 1922.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very
cool.
So,
hey, Florida, represent.
Yeah, Florida, represent. Whoop, whoop. All right, awesome.
And, and the trees that it grows on tend to grow pretty upright, but they usually have branches bent or broken by heavy fruiting at the ends. So there is that. And, of course, it is still widely grown in Florida to this very day.
Awesome.
It seems to mature between starting from January up until March.
Uh-huh.
So that's pretty nice.
Right.
But, hey, you know, we do have an orange here in Florida. Woo-hoo! Well, we got a lot of them. But, hey, a Pokemon island named after one of our local oranges, hey, nice.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I wonder if Murkrots actually grow on Murcott Island. That's something to think about.
Yeah, that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty much all the fun facts we have about the episode itself. Now, let's talk about the featured Pokemon. So let's open the Pokedex and see about Scyther.
Scyther, the mantis Pokemon. Its claws are sharp as swords, and it is a powerful flyer. This Pokemon is rarely seen by humans and almost never captured.
All right. So in Japanese, Scyther is not called Scyther, obviously. Scyther has a different name. There's very few Pokemon that share names between languages. Pikachu is one of them, you know, because Pikachu is the same in pretty much every single language. However, there are Pokemon with different names. But Scyther's name in Japanese roughly translates to Strike. That's it. Strike. That's what he's called. Strike.
Interesting.
Yep, he's called Strike. That's all he's called. Okay, now a Scyther evolves to a Scizor when traded while holding a metal coat. In case you ever want to get a Scizor, which are really cool, by the way. Very cool steel bug types. All right. Now, a usual Scyther is about 4 feet 11 inches and weighs about 123.5 pounds. Obviously, it's a bug type. It's also a flying. Mm-hmm. It also has some attributes of flying, but it's not even though it has some attributes of flying, it doesn't actually, it's not actually categorized as a flying type. Okay? Mm. So, it's weak to flying, rock, fire, electric, and ice. So, it has some pretty, big weaknesses there. it is immune to ground, though. And it's resistant to fighting, bug, and grass. So, those are some really good Pokemon to be resistant to. Alright, so Scyther is the only pre-evolutionary form that has the same base stat total as its evolution. Both Scyther and Scizor have a base stat total of 500. And it doesn't change. If you evolve a Scyther to a Scizor, it doesn't change. It's the same.
Huh.
Yep. So, also, Scyther is one of the only Pokemon that actually weighs the same exact number as its number in the Pokedex, which is 123. So.
Huh.
Yep. Now, Scyther's inspiration draws from, obviously, a praying mantis, right?
Mm,
and, yep. Also, I'm going to probably butcher this name wrong, but Mandalo flies, and more likely Mandalo flies, okay? However, its face and feet kind of represent a cross between a dragon and dinosaurs, almost like a velociraptor kind of shaped head, in a way. What do you think?
Huh.
Now, Scyther, the name Scyther is a combination of, obviously, the word scythe, which is a weapon. And if you've ever watched the show Ruby, you know what a scythe is, or you should know what a scythe is. and also the suffix ER, which is in reference to its sharp blades. So there you go. So, that's pretty much all the information we have about Scyther. Anything you want to add there?
Well, you pretty much hit it right. You pretty much hit it right on the nail. You pretty much said it all.
All right.
I mean, there's lots of other little, because I'm actually looking at his info and stats, and it's pretty impressive stuff.
Right. He's he's a pretty good physical attacker from what I've known.
And having had him both in yellow and silver, he's definitely the Pokemon that I like to use whenever I have to cut through things. so by default, he's pretty much my go-to guy for just slicing through trees and bushes.
One of my favorite Scyther things has to be in Pokemon Stadium 2. There was a Scyther cutting game. And the cool thing about the mini games in Pokemon Stadium 2 is you could actually bring your actual Pokemon into the mini games, and you could actually in Pokemon Stadium 2 if you have a Scizor, you can actually bring the Scizor into the game, so you can actually use Scizor instead of Scyther, which I thought was kind of neat, kind of a neat little thing. I always kind of liked how Scyther looked. I agree with you that he's definitely one of the cooler-looking bug types.
Yeah, he really is.
He has just a wonderful design, and I really do like Scyther. I think Scyther is a very, very cool-looking Pokemon and very well to have, and if you evolve it into a Scizor, it's even more powerful. Just watch out for fire types. And then, of course, Scizor can mega evolve to Mega Scizor, which looks even cooler. He has, like, razor blades. He has, like, a chainsaw blades at the end, so that's really cool looking. So, and he looks even more like a ninja than he does.
That's very true.
He looks even more like a ninja than he already is, so that was pretty cool. All right.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much it for our Scyther discussion. I wanted to really quickly, just very quickly, not as long as we did last week, but I wanted to kind of discuss Tracy a little bit, since Tracy also is kind of featured in this episode. What are your thoughts on Tracy?
Well, But Tracy, I mean, he's definitely a distinct character because he's obviously not a carbon copy of Brock.
Right.
And I remember when, you know, the episodes that led up to both Brock's departure and Tracy's introduction. And I'll never forget, you know, Kids WB kind of hinting at it, saying, okay, who's leaving? Who's leaving? Who's leaving? And then it turns out, you know, we found out that it was Brock. But when I heard that, of course, I didn't know that at the time until I saw the episode. And when he left, I was kind of wondering, okay, who's gonna be the third person in the party? But then when we met Tracy, I do like the fact that he's obviously, like I said, I'm glad that he's not a carbon copy of Brock and that he's his own character. You know, he's obviously a Pokemon watcher instead of a aspiring Pokemon breeder. And he's got a knack for drawing as he's making notes on any kind of Pokemon he sees. And he's a pretty distinct character as well, in that he has his own Pokemon, obviously, that help him out. But other than that, we still don't really get too much of a background of who he is, specifically in the sense of where he came from. You know, I mean, where's his hometown? You know, does he have, you know, any family members still? I mean, is he an orphan? You know, I mean, that's my only real, for me, that would be the only real thing that kind of, not really bugs me, but kind of like makes me scratch my head a little bit and wonder, okay, well, it's cool that he's a Pokemon watcher and whatnot, but where did he come from? You know, I mean, does he have, like I said, does he have any relatives still? Where's his hometown? We never really did find that out. Which is kind of a drag. But, you know, at least with this new episode that we're going to be talking about, at least we get a little bit of a sense of who he is as a person and everything else, yeah, even if only slightly.
I don't know. I've never really liked Tracy as a character. I thought that the idea of him being an artist and being, you know, a guy who goes around and looks Pokemon is an interesting idea. However, I have to get invested in a character. And a lot of times, to get invested in a character and a story, you have to know where they've come from. You have to know where they've been. You don't have to know everything about them. Okay.
True.
Let me give you an example. I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I have not gone back and watched the old Doctor Who episodes, right? I've only watched up to when they restarted from series one with Christopher Eccleston, who is the ninth Doctor. Okay? So I don't know everything about the Doctor, right? But
yeah.
The episodes from those seasons that I've watched gives me enough background on the Doctor that I understand the character, and I don't have to know everything about the Doctor. Heck, I don't even know his real name. You know, nobody knows his real name, but that's just the thing, right? So
yeah,
it's. But I know his background. I know where he came from. I know who he is as a character. With Tracy, we don't get that. Do you think, this is my question, do you think, now we know that why Tracy was added into the Pokemon world, you know, because the Japanese company that was doing the anime at the time, they were just bringing out Pokemon in America right when they were doing, about to start production on the Orange Islands. And as they were as this was happening, they were very afraid that Brock was going to be looked at as a stereotype character, as almost being offensive, especially since there are a lot of people had already complained about Jinx. Okay, so they decided to get rid of Brock and replace him with Tracy. Now, here's my question. Okay, we know Tracy only gets this one story arc. Now, I know that later on, they found out that Brock became a huge fan favorite. And a lot of people love Brock. Me included, I love the character. I think he's very good. We know his backstory. We know where he came from. Do we know everything about Brock? No, we don't. But we know it general enough to to get to like the character. Okay? So here's my question. Do you think that after they realized that Brock was popular, they decided to get rid of Tracy right away? Or do you think they had this plan from the start that Brock would come back?
Well, to me, I always figured that that they probably already had a plan in the pipeline to eventually bring Brock back. Or at least in my opinion, because I didn't really think about it all that much. Or at least I never really thought about it that way. But I have to admit, when I first saw The Orange Island way back when and actually started watching it, I actually was under the impression that that was it, that we weren't going to see Brock again. I figured, okay, well, Tracy's our new third guy, so all right. And that was it, and I just kind of accepted it as is. I didn't expect, of course, granted, I didn't expect, and we will see this eventually, him to eventually return. My guess is that they probably already had it set in the pipeline to where he would eventually come back.
Okay.
It was just a question of how to do it. His return to Cantel and Pallet Town was a little bit ambiguous, which we will get to.
Right. Right, we will.
So, but still, you know, it was good seeing him back. And again, maybe it's just, the nostalgia glasses talking, but there was just something, and again, we will get to this, there was something about seeing all of them, you know, on their way, you know, to Professor Oak's place when we get to that point.
Right.
That one was pretty cool. I mean, granted, it was only for, you know, a couple of episodes, but still, I mean, seeing, you know, essentially our, you know, Fantastic Four, you know, not counting, of course, our Pokemon. Given how anime works, I personally really feel that, yes, they already had it in the pipeline that Brock would eventually come back.
Okay.
It was just a question of when.
Okay. All right. You don't think it was a last-minute kind of, oh, well, he's really popular, we should probably bring him back kind of thing? You think that maybe if they may be prepared for it, or just in case, or something like that?
You know, it might have been, granted, I'm not really sure. Granted, fan demand has, can really have an impact on the TV show. As those who have seen Power Rangers know. All you Power Rangers fans out there, you'll know what I'm talking about. So fan demand can definitely have a lot to do with it. Whether or not Kids WB may have played a hand in that, or, like I said, maybe whether or not they already had it in the pipeline is anybody's guess. I mean, I was bummed. I was kind of a little, you know, sad that Brock was leaving, or that he was going to stay on the Orange Island at the time. But, it may have been last minute. Looking at it, this is pretty interesting. It turns out it was not fan demand that brought Brock back.
Oh, really?
So there is that. But again, I'm looking at the what's called the Poke Community forums. It looks like, by the looks of things, it was not fan demand that brought Brock back, in the transition from Orange Island to Kanto, and of course, you know, eventually Johto.
Uh-huh.
If any of you listeners out there if you guys may know something more, something that we don't, then go ahead and let us know.
Yeah, and let us know what you think about Tracy too, because, I mean, to tell you the truth, he's not a companion of Ash's that I hate. I don't hate him. I'm not particularly fond of him, but I don't hate him. I think he's just as bland as later on when we meet Silen. He's pretty bland in that respect. Silen was kind of a bland character too, as well. You didn't get much backstory with him. You didn't really get much with him, although you did get a little bit more than you actually got with Tracy. So I don't know. So let us know, arcaders out there, if you're listening, let us know what you think about Tracy. Let us know in the comments below. All right. I think that's enough talking about Tracy. That's not enough to talk about Tracy because we're about to talk about him some more. But we're going to talk about him in the episode. So, this episode is called...
Tracy Gets Bugged!
All right. So, Tracy gets bugged. All right. So, we start off the episode unlike every other episode that we've been starting off with. That's right. For the first time ever, we don't actually start the episode with our heroes riding on Lapras. Actually, they've already landed on the thing, and Ash is already thanking Lapras for its time.
Yep.
And just as we're getting on the island, Tracy is hugely excited, and you can hear it in his voice, and he throws out his Venonat and his Meryl. And he's like, dudes, we're here. I'm excited. And Ash is like, oh, hey, I guess you're excited about this, man. And Tracy's like, oh, yeah, I'm excited. We're on this island, man. I've been wanting to come to this island for, like, ever. And then Ash is like, well, why did you want to come to this specific island? And that's when we get a Beedrill, the Pokemon that I believe will kill you till you die, fly by.
Yeah,
oh, gosh. Oh, I don't know if I can stand seeing a real live Beedrill. I'm sorry. Those things are creepy. And, like, they look like they will kill you till you're dead. So.
Yeah, the Beedrill definitely have that look.
Yeah.
I mean, they just do. Right?
Even Mega Beedrill is really kind of creepy. I'm not going to lie. when they added Mega Beedrill in Ruby and Sapphire, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire are just, oh, wow. He looks even more like he will kill you till you're dead. Kind of look. But anyways, so Beedrill flies by, and Misty kind of falls on the ground, and she's like, oh, crap. Beedrill. And Tracy's like, what happened? And Misty's like, Beedrill flew by. I actually probably would have had the same reaction as Misty, to tell you the truth. I'm not going to lie. A Beedrill that big.
Too.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, so then Tracy kind of explains why he's so happy to be on the island. And the reason he's happy to be on the island is because this island is filled with bug-type Pokemon. He is super happy about this because there's bug types, and he is a huge bug type fan. And he can't wait to go, and Ash is like, oh, yeah, let's do this, man. And so they both start running off, and Misty's like, guys, I'm not going. And they're, Tracy kind of looks at her and goes, why? And she's like, you know, I want to work on my tan, you know, I'm just going to lay here on the beach and work on the tan. And that's when Ash is like, oh, yeah, that's right. He whispers. I don't know why he whispers this in Tracy's ear, because it's not like Misty doesn't already know this. But Misty, he tells Tracy that Misty has a fear of bug Pokemon. And, of course, then Tracy, ever being the big mouth, says, oh, so I guess that means when it comes to bug types, you're chicken. And so Misty stands up, stomps his foot, and then, of course, he retracts his statement by saying, it's good that you were looking for bug types. Yeah, that's what I said.
Yep.
I kind of like this scene. I kind of like this opening, because this was the whole opening to the episode. I kind of enjoyed this opening. What did you think?
Actually, it was pretty good. You know, it definitely breaks the mold, because you usually have our heroes, you know, on Lapras, you know, going from island to island, and this time, in this episode, they're already there.
Right.
So, and of course, just seeing Misty just freak out, which, honestly, we have not seen that since the time Ash caught his Caterpie way back when, back in during the Indigo League. And seeing her just freak out is just, that always puts a smile on my face.
Well, also because we actually get to see Tracy be a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more realistic, actually, in my opinion. You know, because he makes a joke about Misty. Whether he did it on purpose or not, I don't know. But he made this joke about Misty. Misty stomped on his foot, and then he kind of retracted his statement, you know, realizing that he had made a horrible, horrible mistake. but I think this actually kind of gave Tracy a little bit more character as opposed to all the other episodes we've had Tracy in so far, which has been a lot. Yeah. This actually showed him to have a character, to show him be a regular kid as opposed to just a bland character. So I salute both the voice actors and the writers for that scene, both in English and Japanese, because it's done very, very well. I really did enjoy that. All right, so we then go into the group as they're walking through what I'm calling Bug Island. This is Bug Island. And so as they're walking, Venonat and Meryl are kind of leading the way. And the two, Meryl's ears start twitching, and Venonat's antenna starts twitching as well. And they sense something. And so Tracy goes to see what it is, and he finds out that it's a whole group of Caterpie. And they're just kind of, you know, being Caterpie. They're just eating things and, you know, squirming all over the place. And Ash is like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get me another Caterpie. And then, of course, Misty grabs Ash by the backpack and is like, oh, no, we are not going through that again. Which I thought was a nice little callback to the original series. You know, Ash wanting to catch another Caterpie, and Misty's like, oh, no, I am not going to befriend another Caterpie. That's it. We're done. But as Misty is dragging Ash away, she doesn't notice that Meryl and Venonat are twitching again. And before Tracy can actually say hardly any words, really, she turns around and there's a giant pincer that comes out of the bushes. Now, Misty gets scared, grabs Ash, and runs off. And then we get maybe like a couple minutes later, you know, they're kind of walking down the road there, and Ash kind of compliments Tracy on how Meryl and Venonat kind of work together. Like, Meryl has really good ears, Venonat can sense anything around them, and they kind of work as a team. And, you know, Tracy's like, yeah, these are my Pokemon work as a team. All my Pokemon work as a team. And I didn't actually think about this until this episode, but he has the perfect Pokemon for Pokemon watching, really.
Very true.
You know, Venonat can sense if anything's near, and Meryl has really good hearing and can direct him where he needs to go to find the Pokemon that he's looking for. I think he has the perfect team for that. Now, the perfect fighting team, that's a different debatable. That's debatable. But
yeah.
But as a Pokemon watcher, yes, he has a really, really good team. So as they're walking around, Meryl and Venonat start twitching again, and so they sense something in the distance. So Tracy and Ash go to see what it is, and Misty kind of like, all right, guys, I'm coming, kind of thing. And so they kind of run off. Now, as they're running off, they come to a clearing and find a very injured Scyther. Now, this Scyther is laying on the ground. He's beat up. If this was a PG-rated TV show, I'm sure he would probably have some blood around him. He's in bad shape. And the group kind of finds this Scyther just absolutely just knocked out. So Ash pulls out his Pokedex and scans Scyther. And, of course, we get Scyther's information. And we get a little bit of what Scyther is for the most part. We also find out that Scyther are very, according to the anime's Pokedex, Scyther are very rarely seen by humans and very rarely caught by humans as well. Okay? Mm. So, which is actually pretty accurate to the game, because if I can remember correctly, and I'll have to really remember here, you could only find Scyther in the Safari Zone in Red and Blue and Yellow. So that's very true. You very rarely saw them, and if you did, you had a hard time catching them, because those Pokemon in the Safari Zone were no match. Were no, not easy to catch, especially Chansey, Kangaskhan, and Scyther. And then, of course, if you had, I believe it was Blue version, you had Pinsir. So this was a very, this is a very kind of true statement. So as the group is kind of looking on, they go to try to help the Scyther, and the Scyther is really not happy. It is not happy at all that that these humans have found him, and he looks like he's about to do something. Now Tracy, trying to help, pulls out a potion and is about to spray the potion on Scyther, and then Scyther jumps up and gets ready to attack. But the only problem is he's severely injured and has a hard time standing up. So Ash decides to fight Scyther and to try to catch him to bring him to the Pokemon Center to get him healed. So he decides to pull out Pikachu. Well, first he throws out a Pokeball to try to do it, but the Scyther knocks the Pokeball back. And so Ash decides to actually battle it and use Pikachu. However, Tracy then does stop Ash from attacking and says, "Hey, let me handle this. I've got it." And so then Tracy says, calls out Venonat. And if you've trained a Venonat or if you've ever seen Venonat, you know probably why he chose Venonat. Now, at first, Scyther kind of spooks Venonat, but Tracy kind of gets more confidence in Venonat, and Venonat uses sleep powder, which is actually a technique that you would use in the game, because if Pokemon are asleep, they have a higher catch rating than if they're awake. So he puts the Scyther to sleep. And the Scyther tries to fight it as best he can to stay awake, but unfortunately the sleep powder is too much, and he falls asleep, and then Tracy goes and catches him. Now, this is what we talked about earlier, that the Pokeball doesn't even shake. It stops. It catches Scyther, it goes right back into Tracy's hand, and that's it. No shaking, no nothing. He has caught it. Now, whether that was an actual choice by the artists, or it was to show how weak this Scyther actually was, that he was so weak that the Pokeball didn't even shake, or whether it was just a mistake and they just forgot to do it, I don't know.
I kind of wondered about that. I think that might have been maybe just a way of showing that, this Scyther is right now is just way too beat up to even remotely try to struggle.
Right.
And that combined with Venonat's sleep powder, it was pretty much a done deal. But all you had to do was just incapacitate it in just the right way, and presto, you can catch it.
Right. So whether that was a choice by the writers or artists, I don't know. But regardless, Tracy caught the Pokemon, and they run off to the Pokemon Center to get it healed. All right. So now we get introduced to, of course, Team Rocket. Now they're flying around in their balloon, and they're trying to find out where Ash and company is. And just as they're looking around to try to find them, of course, what comes out of nowhere but a Beedrill! And this Beedrill then pops their balloon, sending them downward towards the ground, and somehow they don't die.
but then again, Team Rocket, so
yeah,
why not?
They're pretty indestructible. So they come crawling out of the balloon, and they kind of look and see where they are, and see all the bug types kind of squirming around, kind of going all over the place, and they show pretty much most of the bug types that are in Red, Blue, and Yellow. So you see Metapod, you see Weedle. I don't think you see Kakuna, but you do see Metapod, you do see a Venomoth. You see a whole bunch of Pokemon that, you know, are bug types and are in the game. So it was kind of a nice little showing of just to let you know that this island is filled with bug types. So T-Rocket's kind of amazed by how many bug types are. And then, of course, they meet up with a whole swarm of Scyther. Now, these Scyther are not too pleased, and I'm guessing that's probably because they landed in their territory. And one of the Scyther, who is the bigger one and also has a two cuts down his head, which I would hazard a guess, even if, in case we're jumping ahead a little bit, I would hazard a guess to say that our Tracy's Scyther was the one who gave him that scar. I would not be surprised.
that's what I'm thinking too.
Yeah. So then the Scyther then attacks Team Rocket and they try to duck. Now we think, actually, when I first saw this episode, I'm like, oh my gosh, did they kill Team Rocket? Because literally, it's almost like it's like a horror movie scene.
It's considering that the Scythers, their hands are pretty much blades. You know, I don't think they're going to give James and Jesse a haircut.
Right. Well, not necessarily, because this is a kids show and we can't kill people. So,
exactly.
So at least not on screen, anyways.
Yeah.
Off screen, they can die, but on screen, they can't. So, of course, we go to the Pokemon Center, but by the way, this Pokemon Center looks like it was built in Rome. I'm not going to lie. It looks like, almost like if you took the White House and you cut it through the middle and just had the little dome part. Looks like they took the White House, they cut it in the middle and just made it a Pokemon Center. it looks really good. I just wanted to mention that real quick, because it looks like it's very, it looks very Roman. It looks like it's been there for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if whoever decided to build that Pokemon Center was, had maybe
they were Italian.
Maybe they were Italian. Or who knows? Maybe Mario, one of his many travels, somehow made his way to the Pokemon world and decided to honor his Italian roots by building a Pokemon Center. I mean, who knows?
I don't know.
Hey, stranger things have happened. So.
That's true. That's a true statement.
You never know.
Well, anyway, so we go to the Pokemon Center, and Nurse Joy is kind of bandaging up Scyther. Now, as Scyther is laying there, he is staring daggers. Forgive me for using the pun, but he's staring daggers at Tracy. And, Ash and company are so worried about this Scyther, but they're also kind of weary because this Scyther is literally livid, and especially at Tracy. And we pretty much already know he's mad because he got caught. He's mad because Tracy caught him, which is actually a first. I would think for Pokemon that this is a Pokemon that actually resented being caught, which is kind of a rarity if you think about it. Go ahead.
Yeah, because usually when you catch a Pokemon, they usually, for the most part, go, okay, all right, fine, you caught me, all right, fine, I'll help you out. But this Scyther clearly was not too happy. I mean, to say that this Scyther was pretty peeved would be an understatement.
Right. And Tracy is also, at the same time, he's kind of worried about this. Now, as this is going on, of course, Nurse Joy comes out with Chansey, and they asked if Scyther is okay, and Nurse Joy says, of course, he's doing fine. He's still a little weak, but he's doing fine, and he'll get his strength back in a few days. And they try to ask Scyther, how he feels, and Scyther won't have it. He's, no, I'm not talking to you. And he kind of growls at Tracy, who... And almost, if he wasn't in bandages, he probably would have jumped up and tried to attack, I think.
Probably.
Because he was mad. That Scyther is angry. And so they kind of pull Scyther off to go recover and get him away from Tracy.
Yeah, big time.
But Nurse Joy then kind of recognizes... the Scyther as kind of an older Scyther. That this Scyther is a little bit older. And he's an old warrior, she calls him. And he kind of lost a battle. And everyone else is like, what? And apparently, according to Nurse Joy, Scyther live in swarms. And these swarms are headed up by basically the most powerful Scyther of all of them. And every once and again, when a Scyther is born and grows up to be strong enough, it challenges the leader for leadership. And then whoever wins the challenge either continues being the leader of the swarm, or he then goes off and kind of lives on his own until he can find another swarm, until he can find another leader that he can beat. Okay? Which is also very, very samurai, I think.
Yeah, it really is. Especially, I mean, because I remember years ago, in addition to seeing the episode, I remember that they had put out a series of Pokemon Junior books.
Uh-huh.
Or junior novelizations, basically. And they actually talked about that. Especially when you get to the scene with our favorite professor. And he actually points out about how in the book, and I don't know if they said this in the episode, maybe they did, but at that scene when our heroes are talking to Professor Oak, he basically talks about how, you know, Pokemon, you know, he kind of reiterates pretty much what we had kind of had heard about up until that point, but we only saw glimpses of it, in terms that Pokemon, each and every single one of them, have different feelings and personalities.
Right.
That there's not, that they are not carbon copies of the other, they're not, you know, I mean, each one's got its own attitude, its own flair, its own, you know, all the things that you could expect, you know, and it was just funny because, I mean, because with these creatures, I mean, yeah, you catch them and you train them, but you also have to remember, and again, this is really more shown in the show, and I really credit the show for this, that each of the Pokemon have their own attitudes and personalities, which is really nice, because if you're a trainer, and if you hang out, if you see enough wild Pokemon, and if you kind of see, like, how certain Pokemon are, you can kind of get a sense, oh, yeah, you know what, this Pokemon, you know, I like the way this Pokemon's personality is. You know, that's the one I'm going to try and catch.
And also, this is true per game, too, because you can catch two of the same Pokemon, and they can have completely different stats. In essence, Pokemon in the game really have a DNA. They have a digital DNA. So depending on the Pokemon you catch, depends on what stats get improved, or what stats are not as better as others. This is why also that if you get into breeding, you have to learn which Pokemon are best with what stats, and then you have to get the right Pokemon with the right attributes.
That's very true.
Yeah, it's a very tedious thing, but if you want to be in tournaments, you have to do it. And sometimes it takes eggs upon eggs upon eggs to find the Pokemon that you need. That's why it's good to have a Ditto. Just going to say that right now. You need a Ditto for breeding. You just catch yourself a Ditto, because Ditto...
I do have to confess. I never when I came to breeding my Pokemon, the only ones that I ever really, I pretty much used my Ditto to do the breeding. I was having a hard time trying to catch, you know, male and female Pokemon just to find them and then be able to breed them. I figured, you know what? I got myself a Ditto. I'm just going to go ahead and use Ditto to just breed my Pokemon.
Right.
And so that's what I did. I mean, I know that's, I mean, granted, I mean, one can call that a cop-out, but, you know, when you don't really have that many options, especially in the beginning, you know, you kind of have to make do with what you have.
Right.
Luckily, Ditto came through in a pinch.
Right. And this is per game, I think, is very true. But also, I think it's very true to life. There are some animals that actually do these kind of things. Not just human beings. It's also, what real animals would do. So, you know, of course, these Scyther are huge. And I don't know if I would want to see one in a dark alley. However, I would love one as a bodyguard.
big time.
But those are things you don't want to mess with. Now, as you were saying, the group starts talking with Professor Oak, And Tracy's not, you know, he congratulates Tracy on his capture, and Tracy's really not happy about it. And Oak is like, well, you know, why are you not happy? And Tracy's like, well, because Scyther's not happy. And if Scyther's not happy, well, how can I be happy? And he goes, well, you know, probably the reason because of this is because Scyther's sense of pride has been hurt. And really the only way to fix it is to do something that would bring his pride back. And so that gets the kind of the cogs into Tracy kind of turning and kind of thinking what exactly could what he could do to make this Scyther feel better, to feel like he belongs and not to just resent him for capturing him. Okay?
Yeah.
So we get out of the sappy scene, and now we're into a funny scene. So Team Rocket has been running away from... So Team Rocket, obviously not murdered.
No, definitely not.
Running for their lives. They fall down in exhaustion. They've been running for a while. And, you know, James says something to the effect of, that was close. That Scyther missed us by And then... Meowth and James look over at Jesse, and they get the cartoon bug eyes. Oh crap! And Jesse's like, "What's wrong?" And of course James is like, "I'm afraid your hair's not there." And Jesse's like, "My hair?" And she pulls out a mirror. Of course, where did she get the mirror? We don't know. And finds out that the whole back end of her hair, which, by the way, stuns me, how it stays that way in the first place anyways, got cut off by the Scyther. And now she has short hair. And, of course, when Jesse finds this out, oh, crap, you do not want to be in Jesse's way. Something like this happens. Meowth is the first to kind of calm her down for a second and go, listen, we got to think about this. If you want revenge, that's fine, but we gotta plan this out. We can't just go running in there blind, you know. And he says, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we capture the whole swarm of Scyther and then give it to Da Boss, and then he'll be super happy with us, and you can get revenge on the Scyther all at the same time. And then Jesse's like, all right, that sounds good. And James is all on board with it, too. And so they all decide to go catch them. Of course, Jesse runs off. And, of course, Team Rocket tries to hold her down and say, listen, we've got to plan this out a little bit more. So calm down. Otherwise, you may get a crew cut. And then it shows Jesse with a crew cut. Like she got her hair buzzed. And, of course, this freaks Jesse out and, of course, puts her back to her senses. Now, back at the Pokemon Center, we have the crew as they're looking at Scyther. And Tracy's kind of trying to tell Scyther that he kind of understands what Scyther's kind of going through. That he really understands that, you know, his pride is a little hurt, especially since he's been caught by this trainer. And he's trying to reassure Scyther that what he did was specifically to help him. He didn't do it, you know, for any other reason but to help him. And I think Scyther is still at this point just kind of like, whatever, I don't care. Kid with your bandana and your green shirt, whatever. You know, Tracy's like, I wish I knew what could make you happy. And then, of course, Ash says something that I was like, wow, that came out of Ash? And Ash is like, well, you know, I know what we should do. We should just have this Scyther challenge the other Scyther again. Challenge that younger Scyther for a rematch. And then he's like, you know what? That may actually be a good idea. And Misty then teases, oh, look, I guess statistically you should have an idea eventually. A good idea eventually. Ash is like, cut it out, you. It's a great idea. I mean, how else would Scyther get his confidence back than to battle the Scyther that beat him and win this time? And of course, Tracy says that, hey, I'll help train you if you want. And we could battle the guy. We can battle the Scyther together. So, I think it's a good idea. I think this is definitely an idea that has merit, and yep. You know, and it's very rare that Ash comes up with good ideas until you get to X and Y, and then he's all full of good ideas. But for
Him, that's the thing about Ash. You know, I mean, granted, I mean, I guess in the beginning, you know. Because you couldn't really have him be completely shrewd or be able to come up with good strategies in the very beginning. But every now and again, and if we and when we go back to the Indigo League, there's a few moments where Ash either says something intelligent or he really gets into helping his Pokemon out. Once with his Butterfree, and then. And then when we get to the actual Pokemon League, there's one specific opponent he goes up against in one of the rounds, in one of the elimination rounds, where he actually does something that even looking back then and looking back now, it was something that I didn't see him actually coming up with, but it definitely shows that the guy. That every so often he can actually come up with something really good, and he can actually say like the right things that it just fits.
Right.
So, but again, obviously you couldn't have him, you know, do it all the time. But every now and again, you know, just have him say something intelligent or say something, you know, that makes sense.
Yes, he has to always say something in television. So anyways, we go back to Team Rocket. Now we're back to Team Rocket, and Team Rocket is looking at the Scyther as they are bathing. And I think it's kind of neat that they're kind of, like, washing their scythes, their giant sword hands that they have. How do they eat exactly? Yeah. This is what I want to know. How does Scyther actually eat? Do young Scyther poke themselves in the eye? Is that a thing? Is that a thing that happens?
Yeah, I mean, that is an interesting thing. I mean, on the one hand, they wouldn't have to worry about slicing, you know, slicing open fruit, but being able to pick it up and eat it would be pretty tricky to do.
Yeah, definitely. So anyways, they're watching the Scyther bathe, and Jesse is like, yes, this is going to happen. And it's like, calm down, here's a blaster, go ahead. And Jesse's like, yeah, do this. And she pulls out the super shot, the super scope. She pulls out the super scope.
And yeah, basically.
Because it's Nintendo, we can say that. She pulls out the super scope, and it shoots out a missile that shoots out goo, this kind of yellowish goo. And I'm thinking it's kind of like a really strong glue, maybe like Gorilla Glue or something like that.
It's bloated with yellow glue, or at least that's what it looks like, and the episode description is, or at least that's what it's saying. But it is some type of yellowish glue.
Right.
So yeah.
So she gets the she gets them all stuck, and they can't get out of it. And then, of course, Meowth has another super scope, which shoots out a mini Magikarp who turns into a giant net and then captures all the Scyther. And they finally got all the Scyther. And just as this is happening, the Scyther kind of cry out as loud as they can. And who, of course, would hear that cry? But, of course, Tracy's Scyther. Now, Tracy's Scyther starts getting antsy. Sorry for saying a pun without actually knowing it. Gets a little antsy and starts squirming around. And then lo and behold, Nurse Joy takes the tape off of his wings. And then, of course, Scyther jumps up, starts flying out, and crashes out the window and goes to who knows where. Now, the group thinks that Scyther is going to go fight that younger Scyther again, but little do they know, he's going to go save his swarm. Now, Scyther doesn't get too far, however, because he's still very, very weak. So, Tracy goes to try to stop Scyther, and Scyther just, he won't do it. He's gonna help his swarm, and so he flies off again to try to save his swarm, and so Ash and Tracy and the rest go off. And then Nurse Joy's like, okay, but, you know, you guys got to be careful out there. And Misty's like, yeah, don't worry. We'll be fine. It's, everything will be great. It's great. and they kind of run off. Now, Team Rocket at this point in time is just kind of just gloating over the fact that they caught all these Scyther. And now Jesse, who is absolutely livid, is now going to really wreak her revenge on the Scyther. And both Meowth and James, who really have no reason to be scared at all, really, but they're scared. They're even scared for the Scyther. Because yep. Jesse is like, this was my, you robbed me of my crown and glory. This was my first love, blah, blah, blah. And this was my resplendent hair. And James is like, resplendent? And Meowth is like, oh, it must be big.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So Jesse starts, of course, overacting. And, you know, about her hair being destroyed. And, of course, I mean, I've never had long hair before, so I don't know how this would feel. I guess if you took a long time to make your hair look like Jesse's, I guess, of course, you would be mad if somebody cut it off. And, you know, because of how much money you spend on hair gel alone.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's, the closest that, I mean, I sort of tried to grow my hair out a little bit back in high school, but granted, at the time, I didn't know what in the world I was doing, so, but, I mean, I don't know, but obviously, you know, Jesse is, she wants payback, and she's gonna get it, and no one's gonna stop her.
Right.
So, now, and if it weren't for the little plan that, that they were able to come up with, right. I think it's safe to say, yeah, we would, I think the Scyther Storm would be in trouble.
Yeah. Now, what do you think that Jesse was actually going to do to these Scyther? I mean, obviously, she didn't have anything, like, she didn't have any kind of weapon or torture device with her, but what do you think she was actually going to do? Because we don't actually see what she was going to do to them. And the Scyther were actually very scared, because you could see them squirming around in the net, like, oh, crap, what's going to happen to us now?
I think knowing Jesse, she would probably like either like put them in like really, really small cages or something. I mean, or I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't think she would do anything really, you know, anything awful.
Any PG-13 things.
Yeah, I mean, but I think if anything else, we probably would have her just do something just like either imprisoning the swarm in like small cages probably, and maybe like or I don't know, I mean, or something really like really juvenile, because again, it's Jesse and James, you know, they're not Butch and Cassidy, in which case, you know, if it was Butch and Cassidy, yeah, believe you me, they probably would do really, really horrendous things to the Scyther Swarm.
Right.
Whereas with Jesse and James, it would, again, Jesse's method of payback was probably something really juvenile and really silly, but definitely one that would get the point across and go, you mess with me, and now you're going to pay for it.
Right.
You know, but it would just, but again, it would still be at that level for where it would be really tedious and not okay. really, you know.
But, of course, yep. before but Jesse anyway. Gets to do anything to the Scyther, the net gets cut, and the Scyther fall out, and, of course, to Jesse, James, and Meowth's amazement, Scyther appears! Tracy Scyther. And he's the one who saves everyone from whatever Jesse was going to do. Now, Scyther then, of course, growls at Jesse, James, and Meowth, and they get kind of scared. And then, of course, Ash and Company come and try to help out Scyther. But before they do, they see Jesse, and they can't help it, but they just start laughing at her. And the whole time, they're just making fun of her, really. I'm like, okay,
yep.
okay. I'm not on the side of teasing, because I don't like being teased. But let me just say, and I don't even like eye for an eye kind of thing, but let's just say Jesse kind of deserves this. Okay.
Yeah.
She has been tracking Ash and company for the longest time. almost stalking Ash. To the point where, you know, he can't go anywhere without them being there. And, you know, them see Jesse without that long, just long, drawn-out hair.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, of course you're going to laugh. So, of course.
I mean, just come on. It's right there. You can't help it. Just laugh and make fun of it. You can't help it.
You can't help it. You have to. It's these people are, for lack of better words, they're ruining his life.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, you know, it just, why not? Okay, why not? And I'm on Ash's side with this one. And so, you know, and no one teases her more than Misty, though. Which is also funny if you think about it, because it's the same voice actress. So the same voice actress is making fun of herself.
Pretty much.
Oh, anyways, so then, of course, Jesse gets mad, and they go into the Team Rocket motto. But it's different, because the only one really reciting the motto is Jesse, who is livid right now and throws out her Pokemon. And James, of course, pulls out his Pokemon. But the whole time, it seems like James is also poking fun at Jesse.
Yeah.
At the same time. Of course, Jesse is so mad at everyone else that she doesn't care.
I mean, Jesse really does deserve to kind of, you know, be taken down a few pegs, you know, because she really does tend to be really, really high on herself. Or rather, she just sees herself as in this really pompous, you know, high position, and she just pretty much freaked out over having her hair, you know, over having her hair sliced, you know. In a way, the whole thing would almost write itself.
Well, the other thing that I love is at the end of the motto, instead of Meow saying "that's right," he comes down and says "Harry."
Oh yeah.
I don't know why I thought that was so funny, but it is. It's so random. So random that. I get that it has to do with hair, because that's what this whole thing is about. But it's still, it's just so random. So random. Anyways.
Yep.
So, and then, of course, my next favorite line is, of course, Ash's, who says, how do they come up with this stuff?
Who knows?
Misty can't help but tease Jesse a little bit more. And then, of course, Jesse says that these are the guys that cut my hair. Now I'm going to get back at them for what they did. And that's when everyone's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. We're gonna stop you because, you know, that's not right. So, of course, Weezing does a smokescreen attack and covers everyone with smog. And then Scyther jumps in and starts doing, well, the Pokedex says it's a swords dance. Now, what it actually is, I'm not sure. I mean, it could be swords dance since that is one of Scyther's moves. By the way, swords dance is an amazing move to help you out in case you ever want an attacking Pokemon. But whether that actually was Swords Dance or not, I'm not actually sure. To me, though, it looked more like Razor Wind. But, of course, you know, who knows? So, anyways.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah.
It, it, Yeah, I'm looking at the description, and yeah, Sword Dance, it just increases the Pokemon's attack stat.
Yeah, and it's an amazing... If you have a physical attacking Pokemon, that is an amazing move to have with your Pokemon, because you can do some major league damage with Sword Dance. Anyways, so James is like super like, oh my gosh, this Scyther is awesome! And Jesse's like, well, whose side are you on? And, you know, of course, it doesn't look like that Swords Dance actually helped out Scyther all that much, because Scyther is still weak from all his injuries, because he hasn't fully recovered yet. So Scyther then gets attacked by all of Team Rocket's Pokemon. He gets attacked. So Scyther then kind of challenges Team Rocket and says, I'll take you all on. I'll take you all on, whippersnappers. Hey, I'm afraid, Yoggins and your fancy hairdos, and that's exactly how Scyther sounds, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but still, you know what I mean?
So he says he'll take all of Team Rocket on. So, of course, this then, you know, Team Rocket kind of gloats about this whole thing. Well, you know, don't worry about it. You know, I got this. And they're like, yeah, okay, yeah, some old Scyther who's barely able to stand up is gonna fight us. And that's when everyone kind of realizes that Scyther had come back to help his swarm out. And, you know, it's now we kind of understand why this is all happening. So, of course, James, Jesse, and Meowth even go ahead and start attacking this poor Scyther. Now, Pikachu goes to try to help. But Scyther's like, nah, I got this. And so Pikachu kind of steps back and lets Scyther kind of fight this battle. And so they kind of have like a Western standoff. And Ash,
yeah.
I don't know why, but for some reason, I don't think Ash saw what Scyther did. Because Ash is like, all right, Pikachu, you go help. And Tracy is the one who's like, dude, calm down. My Scyther's got this. Don't worry about this. And, of course, that's when we start the battle. And also, Scyther starts kind of more approving of Tracy a little bit more. And, you know, they kind of understand each other. And he gives them, like, a nod. Which, by the way, is actually per game if you think about it. Because in the new versions of the game, there's a thing called Pokemon Ami. And the more you play with your Pokemon and Pokemon Ami, the more they trust you, and the harder they'll fight, and they'll actually do like a nod or a turnaround to look at you before they go out and fight. So it's actually quite interesting. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, anyways, so Scyther goes after the Pokemon, and of course, we get the big fight. Of course, even Meowth joins the fight. Now, Scyther very easily takes out Meowth, of course. And, you know, Tracy is kind of cheering him on as he goes, and he does double team, which is kind of a cool move. But they don't do the usual thing where he makes the different copies. Tracy sees Arbok jumping up at Scyther to try to attack it, and then he uses the real double team, which then splits into different clones, like shadow clones. And Arbok tries to attack the shadow clones, but then of course misses. And then Scyther, who is still kind of weak and injured, you know, Ash is cheering him on, Pikachu's cheering him on, everyone's cheering this Scyther on. And Tracy sees that Victory Bell is about to use Razor Leaf. So he tells Scyther about Razor Leaf, and Scyther then uses his scythes to actually cut the Razor Leafs, which is like, whoa, okay. So Scyther then kind of looks back at Tracy, and he's like, yeah, thanks. Thanks, Mick. Thanks, but gonna cut me, Mick. You gotta cut me. I mean, Scyther sounds like a whole bunch of different things. He's an old man, now he's Rocky.
yeah, I know. It's like a good mixture of just different little nods to certain other things, other movies and whatnot. Which, yeah, it's nice. You know, it's really cool. I mean, this battle really... really had a lot of good moments.
Right, and it. Of course, then you get the fights, and before Scyther continues, Ash is like, how did you know he was going to do Razor Leaf? And Tracy's like, I'm a Pokemon watcher. I should know this. I always see them. I know that when they're going to do what specific attack just by the way they look. And so then they continue the fight. Arbok does Poison Sting to try to get to Scyther. Scyther dodges these Poison Stings. But still, he's very tired. He's very... He can't do it. And Arbok goes in for a bite. And just when he's about to get hit, then the other younger Scyther that beat him jumps in front of the other Scyther and kind of takes the brunt of the attack for it. And this shows that, you know, he now respects the older Scyther. And so both the two Scythers then attack at the same time and, of course, knock out Team Rocket. They do Slash Attack, which is probably one of the more powerful physical attacks in the game. And, of course, they give... Scyther gives Team Rocket another shave by turning Jesse, James, and even Meowth to have Mohawks, basically. Yeah. Of course, we can't have a fight with Team Rocket without Pikachu thunderbolting them.
Oh no! Gotta have that.
So then they run off with Jesse and James having Mohawks, and so they run off, and that's the last we see of Team Rocket for this episode. And Scyther kind of growls at the air, and then of course we get the touching moment of the younger Scyther kind of respecting the older Scyther, and then Tracy Scyther then kind of accepts the fact that he's going with Tracy now, and kind of gladly goes into his Pokeball. And I mean, that's pretty much the episode for the most part. Tracy now has a Scyther, and before anything else can happen, though, of course, this is my favorite part. So Scyther goes back into the Pokeball, and now they're going to bring him back to the Pokemon Center so that he can rest some more. And then, of course, once Scyther jumps in the Pokeball, Tracy stops for a moment and goes, you know what? I'm going to do this right. And so he tries to imitate Ash.
Yep.
And goes, I got a Scyther! And then, of course, Ash comes up and goes, you know what? Yeah, I didn't do it too quite right. Here, let me teach you how to really do it. And so he's like, here, notice what I do. And then Misty is off to the side going, oh, great. Now we got another one. And I'm like, wait a second, Misty. You've done this before, too. So shut your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's one to talk, given that she's actually done it herself.
So. She's done it several times, and specifically when she caught Horsey. So, of course. So then, of course, we end the episode with Ash kind of training Tracy on how to celebrate that he has caught a Pokemon.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it for the episode. The end. All right. So, very quickly, let's go into our pros and cons for this episode. Did you like this episode?
Actually, I really did.
Okay.
Really, really did.
Why?
Because it definitely, it allowed us a chance to get to know Tracy just a little bit more, and, as well as, seeing him actually catch his own Pokemon, not counting, you know, the ones he already has, but it really shows that he actually can be a pretty good trainer. He really can. But then again, hey, he's got Venonat and Meryl, so he darn well better be, you know? So that was pretty cool.
Right.
Just he and the crew just pretty much trying to find out what's going on or what happened to the Scyther, and then ultimately finding out what really happened and then deciding to, you know what, let's see if we can try and help the Scyther out. And then of course Scyther then hearing the rest of its form in trouble and then heading over to help, even though at the time Ash and the others didn't know why Scyther left, other than maybe to challenge the other Scyther to a rematch. But of course, as we find out, no, it was just to help the rest of the swarm.
Mm.
So, but still, you know, all in all, it's a really fun episode. The battle is definitely a nice highlight. So that's pretty cool. And there really isn't anything I can say about the episode. There isn't anything that I didn't like. I mean, in fact, just the opposite. I really, really liked this episode.
Right.
I really did.
Right. And you actually told me when we were planning out this episode, you actually told me that this was an episode you really wanted to do. Not the one you really, really want to do, but this was one of the ones that you thought had enough meat in it to talk about. And I agree. However, I agree with everything you just said, so I don't really have to go over my pros because everything you just said is spot on. However, I do think, again, that this is another kind of throwaway episode. Is Tracy getting this Scyther important to the story arc as a whole? Not really. However, it did showcase Tracy finally. You know, we finally get a little bit of character. Unfortunately, this is the only time we really get any character from Tracy. I think this is probably the best episode with Tracy in it. The other ones, he's either in the background or he's just there. I'm sorry. So is this important to the story arc? Probably not. However, is it a fun episode? Yes. Yes, it is. It is a fun episode, and it is funny. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's a very simple story. I like that this is a rarity that we have a companion of Ash catch a Pokemon. If you think Ash catching a Pokemon is rare, it's even more rare for his companions. Very rarely do his companions ever really catch Pokemon until the later seasons. Until the latter seasons, you don't really see that very much. They're either usually gifted a Pokemon, or someone has them take care of a Pokemon. Misty, I think the only Pokemon that Misty caught were Psyduck and Horsea. I don't know. But it's definitely a rarity in the Pokemon anime to see one of his companions catch a Pokemon. Really, you would think if your whole show is about catching Pokemon, your whole game is about catching Pokemon, you would have more episodes where people actually catch Pokemon. But of course we don't. So as a whole, I like the episode. Is it important to the story? Not really. It really has no real business being part of it. But it's still a fun episode, and I did like it, and I did enjoy it. Anything else you want to add about Tracy Gets Bugged?
Let me see. That pretty much nails the whole thing. Can't really think of anything else. That's pretty much it.
I guess you could say we can bug out now. Ha!
Thank you very much.
Well, before we do bug out, let's go ahead and go over our information for the podcast, where you can find us. We are part of the Arcade Archives Network. What is that address there, Danny the Ultrasonic Player?
All right, so that would be on the arcadearchives.com.
Right, very good.
So, and of course, that is our main hub for all things geek. We have all kinds of articles coming up, on there, as well as our podcast episodes and just little blurbs and all kinds of good video game and geek stuff.
Right, and you can find other podcasts very similar to this one. We have another podcast called Cartoon Connoisseur Theater, which me and Danny host. And you can definitely listen to that. We also have the Electric Circus, where our founder, Ray Gunn, and I talk about other geeky things, but mostly video games. So you can check that out. Also, I have a webcomic on the site, Tales from the Game Grid. which comes out monthly, and I'm very excited. Next month's comic is going to be really, really good, and it's going to bring back a fan favorite character, which has been gone for a little while, so I'm excited about that. So check that out next month for April. And so if you want to contact us, there are several ways you can contact us. First, you can go on Facebook. There are two Facebook pages that we have. The first is facebook.com/arcade1981, and that's our main Arcade Archives Network sites where you can find all the information about anything that we've posted, any events that we're going to, and anything that's happening pretty much in the whole world of the Arcade Archives. You can also follow me personally on Facebook at facebook.com/talesfromthegamegrid. You can follow me. I usually put some information on there and some news and all that stuff that comes out for the site as well. So check us out on there. You can also follow us on Twitter. At TalesFTGameGrid is my personal one. At TalesFTGameGrid. But you can follow all of us at Arcade A Network. At Arcade A Network, again, on Twitter. Finally, you can also follow us on Instagram, The Arcade Archives Network. Again, that's The Arcade Archives Network on Instagram. We try to post every single day if we can to keep you arcaders engaged. And if you want to talk about this episode, about Tracy, about Scyther, what you liked about Scyther, maybe some move sets that you would like to give other Pokemon trainers out there that you feel would work well with a competitive Scyther, please let us know. Please leave in the comments below. If you are listening to this on YouTube, we need you to subscribe. Please subscribe. And if you're listening to this, and also you can reply as well if you're listening to this on YouTube. Also, if you're listening to this on iTunes, please, we want you to write a review. Please write a review. Any amount of stars will be fine. Just give me some stars. Please give me some stars.
yes, and again, and also to add to that, if you have any constructive criticism for us, please do not be afraid to share them.
We're
more than happy to take any kind of constructive criticism.
As long as it's constructive, not deconstructive.
Exactly.
So, exactly. So, and I know that's a mouthful, but that's pretty much it for me. Danny, do you want to go ahead and tell the peeps where they can find you?
Yes. So I have a page on fanfiction.net under the pen name Ultrasonic. And you can also follow me on Instagram as Ultrasonic9, as well as the Arcade Archives Network.
Very good. Very good. So thank you very much for joining us here for Pokemon Rewind. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Now, our next episode is called A Way Out, Day Out. Now, in this episode, the crew decides to take a day off, relax, rest. But, of course, who then takes full advantage of this but none other than Team Rocket? So, will Ash and company get the rest they deserve? Or will Team Rocket spoil it? You'll have to find out in our next episode. So, before we go, I'd like to first thank Danny the Ultrasonic Player for joining me on Pokemon Rewind. Thank you, my friend.
You're very welcome, man.
And thank you, the listeners, for also listening to this. We have been getting a lot of hits lately. We've got some subscribers. Yay! So I'm glad you guys are subscribing. You guys are listening. I've had some good feedback on our podcast, and so thank you very much if you're listening to this. And now I leave you with a clip from A Way Out, Day Out. Thank you guys very, very much. And best wishes to all of you. Danny?
All right. So, everybody out there, you know, keep playing with power because there are no limits.
I wonder what it's for. There's gotta be something different about the GS ball besides the color. I wonder if there's something inside it.
Pikachu! Huh?
Hey, Pikachu, come on over. You can see the stars clearer here than you can back home, huh?
Pika pika.
The Orange Islands sure are different. And so are the gym leaders.
You are listening to a podcast on the Arcade Archives Network. If you like what you've just heard, visit our website at arcadearchives.com, where you can check out our audio podcasts, articles, and announcements of upcoming events. You can also email us at arcadearchivesnetwork@gmail.com. You can also go to iTunes and download not just this podcast, but our other ones as well. And be sure to leave us 5-star reviews, too, while you're at it. So until next time, keep playing with power, because there are no limits.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.